Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you. You're listening to The Watchman here on Omega Radio Network. Today, we're going to begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. We're going to produce a few thoughts. One of the reasons why I want to go here is I was looking at the weather report this morning over in the northeast of our country, and the Plymouth, Maine, all the way into other parts of the northeast, there is a massive storm that is hitting the northeast right now, and it seems to be a very brutal storm, and it's knocking power out to large swaths of area. And I thought it was interesting that we've been witnessing through all these different storms, from the six hurricanes, last fall, and how Puerto Rico went dark without power, and how other regions, when they go through these storms, go without power. The problem on the northeast with that kind of power surge, it's freezing cold out there. I mean, it's brutal. And without power, these people have to learn how to survive. And so I thought it was, worth getting back into the reality of Scripture when it comes to events like these. And, you and I today maybe are sitting in warmer places, sunnier places. It's not an issue to us. But you wonder how many of these, warnings, these red flag alerts are shouting to us. And I thought, well, what would you do if you were there, and would you have been prepared if you had built your life, on the island of Puerto Rico or down in Houston? And when that trouble came, were you prepared to handle it? What would you have done? What would you be doing today? What would I be doing today if I'd been living in this place where now it's freezing cold, there's a massive storm, there's no power? Where am I going to get my heat from? It's a very dangerous thing, especially for elderly people. To that, there's no doubt. But are people paying attention to, the continual, idea that you need to be prepared? You need to have backup generators. You need to have extra food in the house. You need to be able to weather these storms when they come. I think it's just a huge amount of wisdom. And so we're concerned for the people that are going through that storm right now. And in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, in verse 5, Jesus was answering his disciples, and he began to say these words concerning the end of time, his second coming, the last days, etc. He said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Places there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. So when we witness in our generation all of these troubles, all of these sorrows, we've witnessed earthquakes and hurricanes and flus, and fires and floods and landslides. I mean, we've seen it all. The threat of war, the rumors of war. I mean, every single thing that Jesus talked about concerning the last days, we are watching. And guess what? We get to watch it on our television screen. And around the world, no matter where you are, you could watch it on a television screen. And this is very unique in our generation because while these things had happened at other times in the past, there's never been a generation because of the technological advancement that could turn on television and see, wow, we just had a massive tsunami over in Indonesia and 300,000 people were killed. Remember that in 2004? Or the world looking at 9/11 2001 when terrorism began, or, you know, the war in Desert Storm breaking out in the 1990s, or the war on terror that began, or the Arab Spring, the violence and the overthrow of governments in the Middle East. And yet we turn on the television, and whether we're watching the Northeast storm right now, or whether we saw the six hurricanes, or we're concerned about the 45 youth that were on a bus from Houston to Florida that went into a ditch this morning. And thank God, so far no reports of death. We have packages that are blowing up over in Austin. Somebody's sending packages in the mail, and people are dying. And two people have died through bombs in the mail now. And so the troubles are everywhere. And Jesus was telling them, the disciples of his day, and he's talking to all of his people throughout the last 2,000 years of the church age and to us today. When you see these troubles, don't ignore it. When you see these things, we're supposed to be prepared for what follows. And yet Jesus said that all these troubles, these wars, these rumors of wars, these earthquakes, these famines, these troubles of every kind, he said these are just the beginning of sorrows. Now, to every generation, when these troubles exist, when all of these problems occur, the idea is to be on the watch, because if this is just the beginning of sorrows, like a woman in travail, the birth pangs, the labor pangs, well, then what is to follow? And in Jesus' conversation in Mark 13, he said, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And he talks about the into another area in verse 12, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father, the son. Children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. He shall be hated of all men. You shall be hated of all men as disciples for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And so we know the rest of the story, that what Jesus is referring to beyond the labor pains, the pangs, is the birthing of the Great Tribulation, a time of pressure that will come on the earth. And so I guess my question to those that are tuned in today, when you turn on your television and you look what's happening on a weather channel, you go to Fox News and you see what's happening there, or you turn on your local news, or you go to your computer and you check out what's happening globally around the world, if you do that type of stuff, well, you're going to see trouble. Trouble everywhere, all over the world. And, you know, people should not necessarily feed on this, and some people say, well, it's always been that way. But can we deny what we have been living in for the last several years within our nation? And I would just mark it at this point, going back to 2014 during Passover. Do you remember what happened on Passover 2014? Well, if you recall, that was the first of a series of blood red moons. And it was on Passover 2014 when that blood red moon occurred. And then, of course, Tabernacles 2014, and then, of course, Passover 2015, and Tabernacles 2015, that we had the four consecutive back-to-back on feast days, blood red moons. That was called a tetrad. And that tetrad was a sign in the heavens to people on earth. And then do you recall all the events that were going on in 2014 and 2015? That's when ISIS came into view. That's when, you know, a lot of persecution began, particularly in the Middle East and Iraq, with the beheadings and the brutality of this ISIS organization. And more things began to happen. But it didn't end there. In 2016, we had another sign in the sky. Do you remember what that one was? We had the some other solar eclipses along the way. Then we have one of the most turmoilous elections in the history of the United States between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We had that blazing sign that split the United States right in half, the solar eclipse, the Great American Eclipse, right? We had that happen before our eyes. Then we saw the election issue go on. And then we came to that Revelation chapter 12 sign. And just beyond that, we had more shootings in Las Vegas. We had terrorism going on throughout the United States and churches. People were getting shot. And then that went into the six massive hurricanes. And we saw the wildfires in California. And it hasn't stopped. But, you know, these signs, these three predominant blood red moons, solar eclipse, and the Revelation 12 sign are his signals from heaven pointing to planet Earth, telling people to wake up. And then, of course, we're living in the midst of it. So I would concur that these are troubles. These are real troubles. And just because these troubles haven't reached our front door, thank God, if we're under the Psalm 91 covenant, they never will. And again, we're moving into the year 5778 in just a couple of days. Today is the 12th, and 5 days, the 17th, is the first day of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar. And that's the number 5778, not according to rabbinical, you know, teachings, but according to the Bible, the Torah, Exodus chapter 12, God made it very clear that the first month, the first day of the month, will be 14 days before Passover. And Passover's on the 14th day of Nisan, or the first month. So we're, and that's on, March 30th this year. So what are we saying here? That in 5 days, that 5778, we've been in 5777, gray, lead, pulverize, and still pulverizing storms are taking place. We've seen lots of lead from school shootings in Parkland, Florida, to Las Vegas, to the church buildings. I mean, we've seen a lot of lead flying around. Threat of war everywhere. And so we must pay attention. So the question is, what do we do when troubles do come? And I believe that every one of us needs to answer that question for ourselves. Jesus said that when you see all this, brace yourself because something big is about to take place. Something large, something on a scale unprecedented. And to a particular generation, that is going to be what he described, the Lord Jesus described, as the greatest tribulation on the face of the earth. And so what then and how then shall we live in a world where we're actually witnessing all of these troubles? And perhaps someone would come out and say immediately, what an exciting time to be alive. And it is, because these are the signs ultimately leading to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you and I could confidently rest our lives upon, the understanding that everything I see going on in this world is a further signal, is a sign that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. Now, you go back 1,000 years ago, and the saints of God were reading the Gospel of Mark chapter 13, if they had a Bible in their hands, right? And they were looking at the signs of their times. Go back maybe to the bubonic plague, the Black Plague. 50 million people were killed. Maybe they thought this is the sign that is foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ. Every single generation for 2,000 years within the church age has had the opportunity to look at what was going on in their world and then discovering, are we the generation Jesus talked about? But our generation is extremely unique because we do have access to television and that, you know, access to internet and the cable. I mean, we can now view the world like nobody else in the world ever could. I mean, from the jungles of Africa, people could have a computer and see what's going on anywhere in the world. And I believe it's designed that way for our generation. And what I'm saying is that troubles are a sign to us that there's a major tribulation coming, a time of great pressure, but it's also a signal that just beyond that great pressure, Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth like he promised, because he's not a liar. There's never been the fulfillment of Bible prophecy like we're witnessing today. And Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all over the world, not just in isolated locations. And the uniqueness of having this ability to view it on television, view it by computer, et cetera, et cetera. So we are witnessing this. And so what do you do as a Christian in the times that we're living in? If we were to secure ourselves on the Word of God and say, well, I'm seeing too many things here to ignore them. I see trouble coming. I see trouble everywhere. I see a lot happening in our world that is kind of tearing away at the facade that everything's okay. Not everything is okay in our land, on this earth. And there are some major problems that are coming. And so, what is this? What are we watching here? And how should we prepare? How should we prepare for the troubles that will come? For the troubles that will come. Well, the day of the Lord is near. That's what it sounds like. It is a day of trouble and conflict and pressure. Speak to my brethren, says the Lord. I have identified with you in your weakness. I will be identified in your strength. The conflict that exists in the world today is due to the breaking forth, listen now, of many sons who are allowing themselves to be brought unto and into glory. Recall my coming forth into the world 2,000 years ago. Recall the vehement hatred of the kings of the earth. Remember the stirring of fear and doubt that arose in the hearts of men concerning my coming forth. Recall the murder and slaying of the firstborn sons. Understand that this spirit of murder emanated from the one who is evil, whose name is Satan. Understand his many-sided attacks to destroy the seed. You are the seed, brethren. Think not that the finished work at the cross has automatically transferred you into the kingdom of light and rest. No one understand that you are to labor to enter in, and that it is through much tribulation that you shall enter into the kingdom. Yet I would not have you ignorant concerning the events that are taking place in the world today, and the reality of what is behind the scenes that is in operation. For I tell you that the forces of evil have mounted up as a mighty army to kill and destroy the seed. In the past 20 years, over 40 million more babies have been murdered in the womb, bringing us over 80 million. So where does this come from? It comes from the one who destroyed the firstborn in Israel at the birth of Moses, and the one who destroyed the firstborn during my entrance into the earth as a babe. The bear has been awakened and has been called upon to arise and devour much flesh. This bear is full of rage and anger. It is as a bear when her cubs have been harmed or put in danger. The conflict rages against the kingdom of God and cities of the earth. Yet the cities of the earth are falling to the city of God. You are my city. You are my brethren. You are the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Through you will I execute the judgment written against my foes. Through you will I appear with flames of fire and indignation against all ungodliness. Through you will I smite the nations. Through you will I confer the cities of the nations into the everlasting kingdom. Yes, through you, many brethren, shall be the brightness of my coming be known to the inhabitants of the earth. This is why the wars rage. This is why the seas are tossed to and fro. This is why the nations are angered and in turmoil. For the great dragon has stirred up the nations against you, my brethren. For it is you that the nations fear. It is you that has been ordained to rule and reign. I have conquered, and now it is your time to conquer. Now it is your time to win the conflict and be victorious in the battle. It is you that the enemy of your soul has attempted to destroy. Why you? Because I am in you. You carry the anointing. You have the oil. This oil, the nations of the earth fight for. This oil, all the principalities and powers would have locked up and under their control. But my oil is breaking forth. It is breaking out. My oil is flowing from within you, my brethren. And it is mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out demons. This is the oil that breaks the yoke and destroys every curse. This is the oil I have reserved for this, the third day. That is golden oil. It is this third day anointing that shall slay the enemy. Third day oil that shall consume the works of the evil one. Yes, you are my city. I have much reserve in you. I have an abundance of provision for you at this time, even as the storehouses of Joseph were abundant during the time of famine. You, my city, shall have abundance during the time of famine, which is coming upon the whole world. Many shall run to and fro and will seek rest for their souls and will find none. Pressure will increase, yet there will be those who will find you and will note your abundance and shall seek to have what you do. These shall come to a living knowledge of who I am and will be brought into the everlasting kingdom. The conflict will increase. All the cities of the earth will make war with you, my city. But you are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But you are built upon the rock. For when the storms rage and the floods beat upon your house, you shall not be moved. So I say to you this time, stand your ground, for the hour has come wherein the bear and the lion shall move throughout the earth. And who will stop it? Yet the time will come. After much flesh has been devoured and many lives have been lost, that this bear and lion will come into contact with the house of David, and the house of David will once again slay the lion and the bear and become the house of deliverance for those who have been appointed to life. Do you believe in an anointing that breaks yokes? Do you believe that you are the city of God? You are a city on a hill that cannot be hid? Do you believe that the word of God tells us in Ezekiel and in Revelation that there's a new Jerusalem, that there is a city of God, and the name of that city is the Lord is there. Do you know that you are the tabernacle of David? You are the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. Yes, I'm talking about spiritual things, but is it not true that according to the word of God in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are the bone of Jesus's bone and we are the flesh of Jesus's flesh, that we are his body, that we are the body of Christ? And if we are the body of Christ, then the anointing of God, the provision of God, the resources of God, everything of Christ is in his body. And there is an anointing to slay the bear. There's an anointing to slay the dragon. There's an anointing to bring down the lion. There is an anointing in the house of God, in the city of God, that is extremely powerful. And you are a part of that city. You are a spiritual stone, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, being built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. You're a spiritual stone in the city of God. That is the truth. And you and I must understand that's how God views these things, as well as his purposes in other directions as well. But this is important for you and I to realize that we live at a time of trouble, and the trouble is not going to diminish. The trouble is going to accelerate. And so God is going to accelerate his purpose in his people to be able to stand, and not only stand, but to literally take dominion and authority in the midst of this raging storm that is coming. For a period of time, God is going to call his people into the chamber. He's going to tell them to shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. He's going to tell Noah, get into your ark, and he's going to shut the door. There is a time when one must enter in under the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a Psalm 91 call, a trumpet, the nations of the earth, God calling to his people, get under the wing, come under the covering, because there is a storm that is breaking loose on this earth, and to be delivered from it, you must enter in to the ark of your salvation. Now, we are hid in Jesus Christ. I agree with that. I agree that Christ is my ark, and he's your ark. but there, he is my secret place. He is my Psalm 91. But there is also a wisdom of actually entering in to the chamber and shutting the door, entering into the ark and having the door shut. There's a wisdom to that. It is a time of preparation. Now, you know, when I read these prophecies, they become so clear to me what God is wanting to do in the land and what he's wanting to do, most importantly, in his church, in his people. There's turmoil in the Middle East. There's turmoil in Africa. There's turmoil in Asia. There's turmoil in South America. There's turmoil in the United States. I mean, there's turmoil, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere. Everywhere there's turmoil. I was having a conversation a couple of days ago with Brother Daniel, and we were talking about nation. We were talking about how the I think it was the Goths. Was it the Goths that beat Rome? I'm sorry, it's slipping my tongue, but the powerful people that overcame Rome, you know, talking almost 2,000 years ago. And I want to say the Vikings. They weren't the Vikings. They weren't the Goths. There was another name, the Mongrels or something. Well, anyways, you know how they established a foothold in Rome and were able to take it down? He told me that they were, Rome opened the doors, they were refugees. They were immigrants. And Rome had opened the door to the refugees, and the very refugees became Rome's worst nightmare and literally defeated and pulled the nation down. We live in a day, talk about trouble. You can go to Europe. Go anywhere in the world today, and refugees have poured in to the European continent like crazy. We know that, and some people say that's a really good thing. And for those that are genuinely seeking salvation, probably is. But there's something happens when the trouble passes. Trouble kind of opens the door to bring everybody in, you know, save the day. And then the trouble passes, and then you wake up and you realize there's people in your house that are not like you. And they have no desire to go back to where they came from because it's either war-torn or destroyed. And they're not always so willing to, you know, turn their lives over to your way of life. And so they find themselves immediately at conflict with the very house that once opened their door to them to help them. They're now at conflict because their ideology, their way of life is against their own. And we live in a country where we have every kind of refugee that has come to this place for safety. We've opened our doors to tens of thousands of gang members from MS-13. We have all kinds of situations like this, from illegal immigration that has been just, you know, unchecked. And we've allowed millions and millions and millions of people to live in our country. And most of them have been at peace. I mean, we haven't seen a revolution yet, or we haven't seen the Mongrels or the Goths, whoever they were, you know, start to pull down. But we have seen the Islamic, you know, call to violence to destroy the United States of America. I mean, there's a truth to that. And so, trouble. What do we do in the days of trouble? How do you find peace? How do you find love for your enemies, for people that want to kill you? How do you find joy and harmony? Well, it's easy to have those things for some when there's no trouble. But when trouble comes, that's when we're going to have to know how to stand, how to go through. You see, truth must be spoken without leaven or compromise. The hour is truly late, and the day is at hand. The truth is, beloved, that trying times are increasing, and the walls of our nation are about to crumble. The political and social agitations are destroying the foundations of this country. There is no true unity in our nation, and the offense against the Lord is great. Would you agree? Blasphemy on television, you just go on down the list, from homosexual marriages to 80 million abortions to outright blasphemy against God and Jesus Christ and everything we once stood for as a nation. There's no doubt. So you read the list of abominations and then try to justify your cause. Here's some of the things going on. Children being kidnapped and taken to places of isolation for pornography. Murder running rampant within our society. Rape, hate, lies, manipulation, homosexuality, lesbianism, religious pride, gossip, backbiting, finger pointing, child abuse, drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, defilement, debasement, corruption, vulgarity, abortion, sensuality, witchcraft, rebellion, stubbornness, division, and more. So how can these things exist in any measure without being severely punished? These things do not only exist in the world in which you live, but in your own churches and in your own homes. Many have mistaken God's kindness for patience, blindness. We've mistaken deafness and lightheartedness. And so, in other words, here we're thinking that God's kindness has meant that he's not going to do anything about the problems that are taking place, especially within a covenant nation. Well, I'll tell you that God's heart is not light concerning the things that are going on in this country and around the world. But again, we have to make note of this. Remember that there is no other nation on the face of the earth likened unto this nation since Israel. I mean, the British Empire boasted Christendom. There's no doubt about that. But there's never been a covenanted nation like the United States of America, known as a Judeo-Christian nation. In other words, we are a Christian nation that knows better to allow the things that we've allowed to take place. And therefore, like Israel, who knows better and does anyways, we can expect the same feelings. Now, you would think today, in all sincerity, that Israel, after 1,900 years of disappearing from off the face of the earth and then regathered in a supernatural, prophetic regathering together, that they would know better than to make Tel Aviv the capital of homosexuality, but they don't. It's as though they forgot God, that the secularism going on in Israel is just blatantly against the truth. But the truth has to be spoken. So I tell you that terrible destruction is coming to the shores of America. And we've seen it already. We've already seen terrible destruction. But these are just the previews. Side of the truth. The other side of the truth is that a tremendous revival is coming to the shores of America. A revival that has not been known. Now, some call it revival, perhaps others call it an awakening, and I would have to agree at this time it would be more of an awakening, but I also believe it is a reviving within the ecclesia, the called out ones, which is known as the church, ecclesia, the Greek word for church. There is coming what we have been talking about for 5 months now, a quickening, an anointing, a breaking forth, an acceleration of the glory of God within a people. I believe that with all my heart. So a simultaneous thing is taking place. On the one side, destruction. On the other side, an awakening, a reviving. A revival that has not been known, recorded, or witnessed by any since the creation of the world. Imagine that. What is this revival? It is the reviving of a humanity that was sown into the earth 2,000 years ago, a humanity whose origin, listen, is from above and not beneath, a humanity whose image, nature, and character is that of the fathers, a humanity of overcomers, conquerors, triumphant, and victorious sons. The old humanity has kept the creation in bondage until now. The new creation humanity is going to destroy the yoke and execute righteous judgment upon the old. Through many, though many, will lose their lives and the casualties be great, all who have stood in the newness of life and have been separated from the old system of things shall be taken into eternal glory beyond the comprehension and imagination of any. Yet a remnant of redeemed warriors and overcomers will be standing upon the mount called Zion, which is an elevated place of the Spirit, ready to make war with the beast and the harlot system. These overcomers have overcome death and have been translated, raptured, if you will, and transformed in their spirits, their souls, and their bodies, come against unseen principalities and overcome them. These shall have fire come forth out of their mouth and shall take back what has been lost. Now, of course, there's a tremendous amount of allegory, but this is all the book of Revelation that we're talking about right now. The day of darkness, the day of light. What side of the day do you live on? The gray zone is gone. Are you in the day of darkness? You standing on that side of the day? Well, expect only one thing, trouble. Trouble. On the other side of the day where sacrifices have been made, the cross has been carried, the putting to the death of the old things of an old humanity has been underway, but there's coming a light. The darkness is going to grow darker. There's like an anointing for darkness, but there's also an anointing for light. And what we're talking about here is a time when what God is really reviving is not just religious activities, but he's bringing back to life his son. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I am a seed. And if I don't get planted in the earth, if I don't die, then there'll be no harvest. Remember that passage? But if I fall into the earth and die, there will come forth a harvest. We are that harvest, ladies and gentlemen. But it's not just a harvest of people that say, I believe in Jesus. It's a harvest of the very nature that was in Christ Jesus. It is a harvest of his likeness. It's a harvest of his image. We talked about it yesterday. And so what I'm saying is that while we're talking about the intense, destructive nature of what is coming on this earth, there is something that God is doing that we've been hearing for 5 months now that he wants to accelerate his purpose to get his people to come into this reality. He wants to so rapidly transform us and to bring forth a harvest of righteousness in the earth, a harvest of sons. You see, Jesus was the firstborn son. He was the seed, according to Galatians. And when that seed went into the earth 2,000 years ago, on the third day it resurrected. And for 2,000 years, there's been fruit, evidence of people who have been born again. But at the end of the age comes the greatest harvest ever. And this is the third day. Prophetically, we've been around 2,000 years now. 1,000 years is as a day. We've just begun or moving into the prophetic third day of the Lord. And in this third day, just as Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits, in this prophetic third day, the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. And that harvest is the new humanity, the born again, the new creation species. I know sometimes it gets difficult. We study the Word of God and we wonder, well, you know, what is this all about? But when we talk about a people coming forth in the likeness of Christ, do you think that's a weak army? Now, we're talking about an empowerment in a people whose character has been shaped in the fires of tribulation, testing, trial, who have allowed the purging fires to purge out of them every lower-natured activity out of the flesh. Yes, I mean, this is what it is to be a Christian. We go through fire. We go through much tribulation in order to enter into the reality of God. It does not happen just automatically. There is tribulation. There is trial. There is tempting. There is temptation. There is warfare. There is battle. There's nothing light about being a Christian, if you're a true Christian, because there's a spiritual kingdom that must be apprehended. We must enter into something beyond what we see and hear with our natural eye and ear. There is a kingdom to possess, and violent men take the kingdom by force. And God has been allowing these things to go on for 2,000 years now. In this prophetic third day, there's going to be a victorious people walking in this earth. And that's why, in spite of what we see here, as we're pressing into the Lord, as we're honoring him, walking with him, obeying him, going through, doing what is right, to be met with a baptism. I guess what I'm wanting to just get across is every single day, as we're hearing what's going on, just keep doing what's right. Keep doing what is right and keep moving towards the Lord. And eventually, he's going to touch your life. He's going to come into contact with you. And I'm telling you, every single person that Jesus Christ ever came into contact with was impressioned deeply. They were either healed. They were either raised from death. They saw the miracles. They were found. They were delivered from demonic possession. Jesus is going to make contact with his seed. And when that contact comes, it's going to energize and cause that seed to abound, to accelerate, exponentially burst forth. This is what you've been waiting for. This is why you're here right now. The people we're talking about shall come forth in the likeness of their God and will bring transformation to the earth. These shall take the dominion and exercise their rights as sons and overcomers. This is what the devil, the fallen humanity, fear and war against the most. It is not true that the wars in the world are due to political maneuvers, but are direct results of a seed coming to fruition. Do you remember when Moses was coming to power, what happened to Egypt? I mean, come on, it wreaked havoc. Babies were killed. Of a savior in the days of Moses rocked the empire. And they got very nervous. They stirred their armies. They went against that seed in the flesh called Israel. The memory of that exodus is upon us now. And when the firstborn son of God was born in the earth, look what happened. Herod and all the people sent their armies. Kill the babies. Go after this man. Stop it. Their world was turned upside down. And of course, everything in this world has never been set straight since Jesus has been here. So the reality of this revival nature of Christ and people is a coming together among saints. It's a joining together. I have seen this company called the Body of Christ filling the earth. They are seen to the eyes of men, but in time shall be revealed from that heavenly place in which they are now seated. God says he's building them up on the inside and teaching them not to fear man or devils, witches or warlocks, caster of spells or chanters of evil. God says he's training them to speak direct words of truth that will be as piercing swords. Their weapons shall destroy the dragon in the sea and Leviathan, that twisted serpent. These will confront with absolute power those who are religious and pious with their own piety. These will tear down the facade of religion and will walk into large churches and call down their walls. These shall walk the streets of the damned and shall bring life to those who are dead and death or alive apart from Yeshua. Yes, this is the remnant in which the enemy is terrified. Your ground will become a battleground, America. There will not be one brick upon another until all that has been spoken be fulfilled. There will be one kingdom, and my chosen shall rule it with divine wisdom and mastery. For they have been granted the right because they have chosen the way of righteousness and truth over the way of selfish ambition and greed. Do you ever stop and think that the Word of God is all moving towards an end to the world system, an end to man-made governments, an end to kings and kings of the earth and captains and mighty men and wealthy men and rich men? Do you ever stop and really think that, this is all going to come to an end? The Bible reports that the nations of the earth are going to be transferred to the kingdom of God, and those who are not are going to be broken with a rod of iron, right? So if you ever stop and think that while men are boasting in their power, in their technocracy, in their technology, in their governments, in their military, that all of that is really emanating out of the fear of a fallen human race and is against and designed to fight against the Lamb, the book of Revelation tells us they're going to make war with the Lamb. I mean, everything of the fallen Adamic, and we are fighting against God. Man, are we fighting against God? We are passing laws that offend him. This generation has just been so outrageous in their offense. And so God is telling what's coming. These have been brought to the lowest place and have been willing to thrust away all they have for the kingdom. You've heard the words Torah, Torah, Torah before America. And I tell you now that my eyes are not blind. My ears are not deaf, and my spirit is not far off.
The truth is that the larger part of your country has already been prepared for slaughter. Most of your citizens are walking their streets waiting for the next terror event, the arm of flesh, whose arm I will break and make of no use. This is referring to governmental power. This will be done according to each decision made that advances the cause of evil, selfish gain, and manipulation of the masses. Your nation is marching towards the cliff and is about to be thrown down. Your eyes will behold these things in their time. Patriotism is not sufficient for the present crises. Only a nation that will change their course will be spared the things that have been spoken. The truth is clear. It's balanced. It is light for my saints and darkness to all the rest. The abounding reality is that your war is not against flesh and blood. You are battling evil spirits, principalities, and powers that have been set up. Well, we've been sharing these things for some time now. The lines are open. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And I would love to hear from you this morning and know your thoughts about what you've been hearing today. 818-369-0326. Again, I woke up this morning and once again I saw that there are thousands, who knows how many thousands, are without power on the northeast because of a massive storm that is hitting there. You know, we've been watching all these troubles around and about us, and it's not something we can ignore. There are some prophetic things that God has been speaking through the years about our country. We have been witnessing a lot of those things come to pass. And where do we stand today? Where do you stand today? And what are your thoughts about this moment? What would you like to share on the radio? We found out yesterday, Kyle, our tech guy for Omega Radio, told us we're broadcasting into Syria. We are in Russia. He was wowed. He couldn't believe where people are listening to these Omega Radio broadcasts around the world. We are being heard. So what would you share with people around the world that maybe they're in more trouble than we are, but they're in trouble? You see, the world is experiencing the time of trouble. Jacob's trouble is come. Israel is about to experience Jacob's trouble. But that does not exclude the nations of the earth and the trouble that nations are experiencing and communities are experiencing and homes are experiencing. We're just living in the times of trouble. Troublesome times are here, and they are growing, and they are manifesting. And the question is, how have you prepared to go through these troublesome times? What is your bedrock reality? What is the secret of your success? What is it that you have the most confidence in? Now, confidence in God. You have confidence in God. I don't have any confidence in myself, and yet my confidence that God is going to take care of me is based upon my willingness to yield to Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to be led by His Holy Spirit. I do believe I have some responsibility in this journey. Waiting to hear from you. The number to call, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. We're going to have a busy, busy day today. Make sure, by the way, you press 1 on your dial pad. Press 1 on your dial pad so I can bring you into the broadcast. Tonight, we are going to be speaking up in Neosho. We were invited, Patricia and I were invited to go speak at the opening up of a conference that our dear friends Jim and Bonnie Boyer are hosting. And so we look forward to taking our little crew from Northwest Arkansas up with us to Neosho tonight. And thank you for your prayers that can be a real outreach, a real evangelistic tool to reach into many people's hearts by telling the truth. I believe the truth. I believe what I've been sharing with you is the truth. But I'd love to hear from you. 818-369-0326. And while we're waiting for the calls to come in, I have drawn the line. Here's another prophetic word right from the heart of God. I have drawn a line, and it will become clear in the days ahead. This line separates those who will and those who will not. To those who will not, they shall experience the loss of vision and fruitfulness. Their thoughts and memories shall perish and will in due time know the loss of all things. Even those things they have had and have enjoyed for a season shall be taken and given to those who will. All my resources that are in the earth will be gathered together in this day of fullness and shall be transferred to those
who will. The line I have drawn shall be revealed in the hearts of men and in congregations throughout the land. In the hearts of men, a division of what is holy from what is unclean shall be made. That which is true shall be divided from that which is false, and that which is light shall be divided from that which is dark. To those who will not, they shall find themselves quickly consumed in an unclean environment internally, embracing false ideas and concepts and being thrown into outer darkness, the absence of light and truth. There's going to be a lot of people in the land not knowing what's going on. They're not going to understand what's happening. The light, the truth that has been given to them has been rejected. They chose not to go on with the Lord, and therefore they're living in these times, and they're totally uncertain times, and the people are uncertain. They don't get it. They don't understand. Why is all this happening? So they turn the news on, and all they hear is more bad news or more reports. But nobody's explaining what's happening. That's why we choose to look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and interpret the signs of the times through God's word so that we can understand what's happening. To those who will shall come increase. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ in your life, expect this. This is a prophetic word for your heart, for your life. Receive this right now by faith. Increase is coming. That which has been shall be no more, for the face of all things shall be renewed. My willing servants shall be swept into glorious places upon sure foundations. These shall have stability in a time of shaking. These shall remain while that which is fruitless shall be taken away. These, my willing ones, shall be advanced into greater realms of understanding and truth. They shall walk in holiness and delight in the fruits thereof. These shall walk in absolute truth, and their freedom shall be seen of all. You will know them by the light upon their faces, and shall know that it is I who have shined in them, and upon their countenance shall be a visible light of glory. Those who will shall reap the harvest of the words I have sown in their hearts. They shall fulfill every word as I lead them into fullness. Promises shall be fulfilled, and the substance of that which they have hoped for shall be. Yet these are just the beginnings for those who will. Those who will shall be gathered into my plan and purpose for this hour in a deeper way. They shall seem to be transformed as by the twinkling of an eye, and will suddenly be doing what at one time seemed so distant and far away. The activity of those who will be no more the efforts of entering into my rest, but rather the glorious fulfillment of an abundant life in operation. For I am reforming all things and bringing all things to another level. I am igniting fires of revival. While the expectation of the wicked shall perish, there are many who have heard the word and have received a word of prophecy, knowledge, or wisdom for their lives, but unless their conversion is complete, there will be no evidence given of those things that have been spoken. Many are waiting for the manifestation of promises, but to fulfillment of those promises will be had unless conversion to me is complete. In other words, when God promises us something as heirs of salvation, he is calling us to something, and we can trust in that promise. But if we're not converted to Christ, if we haven't made the decision, I'm going all the way, you know, my it's all or nothing with Jesus. There is no between state. It's all or nothing. And if you're in the all the way, then you can expect the promises of God. If you're not in all the way, those promises may be delayed until you are. Yes, I have drawn a line. It will become increasingly clear in the days ahead. I have planned for some to be sent forth and have desired their conversion to be complete, yet because they are unwilling to give up their pride or selfish ambition, there can be no advancement. There remains a stubborn people within the congregation who will be refused entry into the kingdom. These who have been called but refuse to surrender all to me will find themselves as spectators within the walls of my congregation for time until I come and see they have no wedding garment. These shall be thrust forth out of the kingdom into the blackest of darkness. self-delusion and a strong delusion will come upon them as they believe a lie. These will become wandering stars, clouds without water, reserved unto everlasting darkness. They shall never come to the truth. Others will become offended at my word, and in the way I move through those who have yielded themselves to me and will separate themselves. Now, we've got 5 minutes left in the broadcast, and I just keep reading these prophetic words more and more, but I want to take a first phone call coming in this morning, coming in from, I believe, Pastor Ken Wagner, calling in from Northwest Arkansas. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. I had a great night's sleep and a great night with you guys last night, so praise the Lord for that.
Last night was terrific. Yes.
You know, Pastor, something began to dawn on me on here, and maybe it's a good illustration for people to think about. I was thinking about years back, even in this country, where people had no foreknowledge of the storms that were going to come on the country here in the U.S., and some of the storms killed thousands and thousands of people from the hurricanes that didn't know were coming. We are being told each night when we look at the weather, hey, this is coming, that is coming, that is coming. Get ready. Get your stuff ready. Be ready for all that is coming down so you won't have to face all of the disaster without being somewhat prepared for it. You know, and that's what you are doing, is that you are giving forth with the words ahead of time of what is coming down. And that's so important for us to recognize and to know and to be prepared so that when these things do happen, we are ready to face it as best we can. And that's up for each and one of us. You know, we can hear it all we want, but until we begin to do something about it, it's not going to matter. And we would end up the same way those people did before they had those warnings years and years back, and ended up dying because of it. You know, I don't want to see that happen. You don't want to see that happen. So we need to begin to listen and see the signs, hear the things you're talking about, preparing ourselves for what is coming down.
Well, amen. Those are excellent words of exhortation. And, you know, while you were talking, I was wondering how people are responding to what they're hearing. You know, you hear warnings, you know, people are shouting out, you know, warning, warning, warning. For a moment, you know, you don't have a big smile on your face and you're not full of the joy of the Lord. You're paying attention because there's a very serious, a very sobering word that's coming out to bring people to a time of preparation and readiness and waiting and watching. And, you know, at that moment, it's very intense. And the things that are happening in our world are very intense things. But that is not designed for people to lose their joy. And what I would like to just finish the broadcast with today, and I know this is your heartbeat as well, Pastor Ken Wagner, is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And even though we are seeing these things, find joy. Joy is not just laughing, having a good time, telling jokes, ha, ha, ha. No, there's a joy that is like a deep secret in the heart that even though these things are going on, I am secure in Christ. I've examined my life. I've judged myself. I am in the faith. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am walking in this earth, and I'm one of those people that are going to be empowered by God. I'm not going to be devoured by the things going on in the world. I'm ready for God to do something great in my life, and so I have this deep, abiding, internal joy of the Lord in my spirit, knowing that he has been good to me, knowing that he is bringing me to a place of completion, knowing that he who began a good work is completing it. He is not abandoning his people. He is not turning his people over to anything. If there are martyrs, he's already predetermined who the martyrs would be. They're going to have a great reward. So I don't want you to lose your joy on what you're hearing. We're going to be back tomorrow here on The Watchman, Lord willing. I'll have Daniel Seckham with me. We'll be broadcasting live tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that, Pastor Ken. Thank you. I've got to go. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next right here on the Omega Radio Network. She's bringing her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I hope you'll stay tuned. I'm Pastor Vince. I'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And we are just thrilled of the wonderful experiences of rereading prophecies from years ago being fulfilled today. When you are a prophet, and I dare say Pastor Vincent Xavier is, he wouldn't say it, but I would say it, there is always the desire to know whether or not you are really hearing from God in your prophetic utterance, and whether or not he has spoken to your heart the truths of what he is doing on earth today. And now it's been revealed by finding these prophecies that have been hid away for years and years and years and years. I don't know how many, really. I think we could be going back to 10, 15 years. And these words are now being fulfilled today. And sometimes it takes time for the prophetic word to be fulfilled. It isn't always right then and there. It has to be in God's timing. And that could become a very heavy burden to carry. But now we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophetic. We're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been given to him by God and written down. And now they are perfect for the day we are in. What encouragement that is just to listen to them. And we, in the interim, are being transformed if we truly desire to be set free from all bondage and from all the demonic presence in our life. And why do we, as Christians even, not all, but even, have any problems with demonic spirits at all? I'll tell you why. It's through a pathway of sin. When you have an issue in your life and you don't repent of it and don't deal with it, you become enslaved to it. And then demonic influences begin to infiltrate. And just so you know, there's biblical basis for how demonic influence can infiltrate not just the life of unbelievers, but believers too. In John 8:34, it says that when you yield to sin, you become a slave to it. A spiritual rebellion, when you know exactly what God wants you to do, and you stiff-arm God and say, I won't do your will. I will continue in this. You open the door to demonic influence. The scripture says when you participate in the occult, and as myself I had, and so many have in this day and age, not so often in prior years in this country, but more so now. It says in Deuteronomy 18, you open the door to demonic influence. And when you attempt to contact the dead, as some have had that experience growing up, you open the door to demonic influence. And when you have unresolved anger and bitterness, you open the door to that influence of the evil one. You know, that's probably the number one middle-class evangelical Christian sin that opens people up to demonic influence. It's bitterness, resentment. And don't think that those strongholds are any more so than any other stronghold. In fact, they are deeper and less obvious to oneself. It is covered with an influence of deception. But that's why it is said in the Bible, when you are under the demonic influence of bitterness and resentment, you must resolve it before bedtime, folks. The scripture says, why? Lest you give the devil a foothold. Let me ask you, how many times have you gone to bed with anger in your heart and did not resolve it with God? Knowing the scripture, being aware of the scripture, and in your rebellion and desire to be right, you did it anyway. That opened the door to influence and vexations and gave devil, why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Why? Because I want to set free. I want to set free from all bondage, all generational bloodline curses, the strong man in our life, and any influences of demonic presence that may have come through sin. Deliverance will take a tremendous amount of time, as we spoke of yesterday, if you are going to be in this wonderful deliverance ministry. And it's going to take a lot of love from you and a lot of dedication. And it's going to take strong faith and scriptural knowledge. That's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, so there could be knowledgeable influence upon your life in scripture. And you may see how it operates so that you may be a help to others, as Jesus Christ did when he walked the face of the earth and said to us, what I do, you shall do also, even greater. Remember that while Jesus was in the wilderness, he spoke the word of God when he rebuked the devil. In it all, there will be an overflowing of God's blessings and rewards as one by one you see the captives set free from the demonic hold of Satan. There will be nothing greater. There will be nothing more glorious. There will be nothing more joyful than to see one set free, to have full opportunity to fulfill their salvation. It's incredible. And in the last chapter, instructions will be given in the book on how to help a person keep his deliverance. That's why I encourage you to go to Amazon and purchase my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, Patricia Xavier. Now, going on with deliverance, the end portion of that deliverance is sanctification. And it's the ultimate in deliverance from devils. We can compare the devils to airplanes and the old nature to an airport. Try to put that in your vision. If we tear up the landing strip, there won't be any place for the devils to land. If we are dealing with lust, or if we have a spirit of lust, evil spirits attach themselves to that old nature in the soul realm. The Pharisees accused Jesus of performing miracles by Beelzebub. Do you know that Beelzebub means? It means the Lord of the flies. What a perfect illustration of devils. Where do flies attach themselves? Not to a spotlessly clean vessel, but to a stinking pile of garbage. And that's in our old nature. Like garbage heaps, these flies will be drawn to the garbage within. They attract devil spirits. They attract evil spirits. And the best way to get rid of devils is to get rid of the old nature. But if you're having trouble doing so, you need deliverance. If you've tried and tried and tried and weary in your trying, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, informs you of your rights as a believer. Learn how to exercise. Learn how to fight for your rights. You have a right to walk clean and be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. And so there are many things that have been granted to us. by the Holy Spirit to be free and to walk in that glorious freedom that God offers those who really want it. He has given us everything we need, and it all took place on the cross 2,000 years ago. All things have been accomplished for our freedom. Now we want to stay free. And in chapter 7, I'm going to speak to you about retaining your deliverance or the deliverance of those that you are ministering with. But first, we ourselves must walk in this freedom. Once a person has been set free, it is important to keep in mind the following 11 points for retaining deliverance. I'm going to tell you what they are. Please write them down as you can, and we will get through a wonderful understanding on how we or others can be stayed in a free existence of the Holy Spirit. Number one, you must watch for any negative thoughts. This is imperative. Yourself will have to become like a watchman standing in a watchtower, consistently watching for the attack of the enemy within yourself. And if you are ministering with others, you must tell them. Once they're through with the deliverance, you must give them this instruction. They must learn how to walk in this freedom. In this case, you will not be in a watchtower within a walled city. Think about it, but in the watchtower of your mind, where all the play of the enemy takes place, in visualization and thoughts. And the enemy uses that. That's why you must be watchful of your thoughts. Let me give you an example of that. I have found in my own life that my thoughts carry out realms of the spirit when I'm either driving a car. Sometimes I wonder how I got where I got. I'm surprised when I get there and I don't recall the time in between because my mind was thinking certain thoughts. And the enemy can use that if you're not aware. Or in my case, washing dishes at the sink. It's sort of a humdrum job. So your mind goes off in various thoughts. You must be watchful of those thoughts, body of Christ, and catch every thought that is not in line with the Word of God, that is negative and has no power except to bring more and more deception into your own ideas and concepts of your own thoughts. So we need to be very cognizant of what we're doing from moment to moment within our mind. And you may say, I don't have time for all that. I have so much to do. And you probably do. But once you learn how to be a master over your thoughts by being watchful as a watchtower within a walled city, you will gain the victory. And you will be shocked where your mind goes in the thoughts that are not edifying or encouraging to yourself or to anyone else, on top of the fact that that thought may be bringing you into ideas that would be very detrimental to your walk. Become a watchtower over your soul and a watchtower over your mind. They are synonymous. In the Greek, soul and mind is synonymous. So understand the work of the enemy and how he captures and deceives. It's through your thought process. And then through redemption, you have been given the helmet of salvation as part of your armor. And this armor is placed over the mind. What other is as great as that? The helmet of salvation is placed over your mind, and Satan attacks will be made on your mind and your emotions within the soul realm, so that through his demons, devils, he may rule you through your thinking, building up strongholds by inviting other devil entities as you build on thoughts that aren't pure, aren't holy, and aren't right according to the Word of God. The Word of God gives us perfect example how to live our life. The instructions are perfect, but we must lead our hearts and souls and minds and heed that Word of God that we read. And if we don't understand it, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, tell me to decipher this scripture. It doesn't quite make sense to me. Give me understanding. And do you think the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that once you asked? Of course he would. Of course he would. You see, when you have negative thoughts, realize that they are coming from the enemy. They are coming from the enemy. Your negative thoughts are not just you. You're either operating in one spirit or the other. There's no in between. You make the choice. That's the in between. And I heard oftentimes, well, it's within ourselves that we understand and we know, and all of that is true. But how we make our decisions is where we come in as the control factor in our lives. So it's imperative that the Holy Spirit is in our heart so our decisions are wise, and that we do not find ourselves thinking negative thoughts, which is demonically damaging, but the positive of the Spirit of the Holy One and His Word, which is absolutely life-building and perfect, giving purposes and destiny for us, each and every one of us. The way to combat negative thoughts is with Holy Scripture. You see, we're involved in this. We're not just taken over. We have decisions to make to stay clean, to stay strong, and to be holy as He is holy. And for instance, you may be having a financial problem. I'm just giving you a for instance here. You cannot pay your bills and the creditors are calling. Satan comes in like a flood with the reinforcement of what? Fear. Now again, God did not give us a spirit of fear. The scriptures tell us he gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. When the mind is being attacked that way, it's no longer sound. And fear will attack. Anxiety, worry, and concern. And they are killers. Not only to your mind, soul, and spirit, but to your physical body. And the strongholds begin to grow. They get more strength. They're more empowered by the spirit of fear. And you're the watchman. You need to be awake and aware of the attack upon yourself. You do not want to be caught sleeping and unaware and in a false sense of security. Many are taken away that way. What you have to do, you have to draw out your sword as a soldier in combat in the army of the Lord. You must visualize this, because the sword is the Word of God. It's called the Word of God in Scripture. It's a two-edged sword, and it cuts through perfectly. You attack with the Word of God, using a scripture that befits the problem. And that's why it's so important that you know the Word of God, that you read the Bible and get the Word into your heart. It becomes a seed and then grows into a tree bearing incredible fruit of righteousness and love. You know, one of the appropriate scriptures would be in Philippians 4:19 that says, "And my God," now I'm talking about the circumstances in which a person just got themselves into financially, and they're very upset, very fearful, very anxious. What scripture should be used? One of the most, for me, and there are others, I'm not denying it, but one of the most profound scriptures I chose for such a thing is 4:19 of Philippians, "And my God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Emphasis added. Now, you know what happens? The negative thought has been removed, and the scripture, which is truthful and positive, has taken its place. So you understand how it works. My God shall provide all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is a truth, an absolute truth. And if you believe this and have hope for this, and your faith has grown to believe in the Word of God, you're already victorious. That desperation and that fear about money will dissipate, and the door will be open for the blessing to come, and your desire for paying your bills will be met and above and beyond. But body of Christ and people who are listening, and this is going all over the world, please realize that it's going to take faith, hope, and enough love to fulfill these promises that God has given us. And you need to be free from demonic presence of all kind, including the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us day and night. That too we overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ that has given us the power to be free, to believe, to have faith, and to have hope, and to love others enough and ourselves to get set free from every stronghold, and even those bloodline curses that we were born with. How exciting is that? Are we taught enough about it? Have you heard enough about this? Has your pastor or teacher or preacher spoken these things to you? I hope so. I truly hope so. Because if they have not brought the Word of God for the exciting purpose of deliverance, I would go to another church where they do. Because this freedom is necessary for being in the army of God today and overcoming the world, the devil, and the flesh, so that we are victorious, a victorious body, a victorious church, a light in this very dark world, setting the captives free, including ourselves. Another example is reflected in the case of an attack upon your flesh. And I'm showing you various means and ways cause others to become free or to help others to become free. So another example is reflected in the case of an attack on your flesh, such as pain in your stomach. Perhaps, just perhaps, this pain conjures up thoughts in your mind of an attack of an appendicitis, because your mother had that affliction. Even if you did not have this appendix problem, the negative thought has entered with the onset of pain, bringing with it fear and other related spirits. And now you have become pretty well convinced you have the same problem. if your mother or father had cancer, or your grandmother or grandpa, and you lived through that, and all of a sudden, and say it was your mother or your grandmother, and you felt they had the doctors mentioned that they had cancer of the breast, and now you feel a twinge, a pain in your breast, and you've been through the ordeal with them regarding this terrible disease. And this immediate reaction would be, is it happening to me now? Don't ever go there. Do not receive that. It is the enemy working to put you under its control so that it may bring sickness and disease of your forefathers. You have to understand the word of God. You have been severed by the blood of the Lamb in your DNA from these bloodline curses. And you must rise up and say, no, I am not being attacked by these cancerous cells. No, this disease is not in me. I will not receive it. I plead the blood of Jesus over the circumstances right now. You will find that twinge and pain will leave. And if it ever comes back to cause you concern, you do so again. You do the same thing again. Because if you don't, you're going to relate it to yourself, and it's going to be a stronghold of fear. And now the enemy has a foothold, and you have become pretty well convinced it's true. And you received it. You received it as truth. When Jesus Christ said that he took all sickness and disease upon himself on the cross. Now, it is up to you to make that decision that very moment. So you see how this works? What are you to do now that you have been alerted? You must again draw out your sword to do combat. You are in the army of God, and this is part of the warfare. And there are many more areas and many more fronts to fight, but we will go into that. We will go into each and every one as we consider God's word on a daily basis. Please be with me and work with me on this. And if you have any questions at all about what is being said, you could email me at patriciajoyfear@gmail.com. You will find that there will be an excitement in learning, an excitement in the way that you have changed in your concepts. God bless you. You are loved. I love you. And we will work together to become the body of Christ in his army. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Until I see you tomorrow.